43, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. 643.
So much, you may be seated, and what a joy to see you this evening. We're looking forward to a great time, and we'll get it started off in prayer here in just a moment, asking the Lord to bless our Lord's Supper this evening. And I hope that you just take it all in, as they say, and remember what it is there for. And the Bible says that as we partake, we'll hear some good words in just a little bit. As we partake, we're looking back to what Jesus Christ has done. And then we're looking forward to when He'll come again. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful exercise, if you wouldn't put it that way, for the church. And so we're thankful for that. We'll start off in prayer. I do want you to be praying, though, for Miss Marilyn Stevens. I mentioned this morning, I believe, that John Stevens talked to him today, and Marilyn was in the hospital since Friday, I believe, and her blood pressure just skyrocketed up, and they are given some medication to get that brought down. They'll do some more testing tomorrow, and then hopefully she'll go home tomorrow, get that thing, get it remedied, but he really wanted us to pray for her, so please keep her lifted up in prayer, if you would, please. Certainly appreciate that. And then we're praying for Summer Scroggs. Brother Marty will head that way on Tuesday, and then come back with Tracy and Summer on Wednesday, so we'll keep them lifted up in prayer that the Lord would just continue to heal her and bless her, and we certainly want to do that. And Larry Trent will have some surgery this week as well, and we need to keep him lifted up in prayer. And then Chad Nelson wanted me to mention to us to pray for the Rogers family, and this is the relatives of Deidre, his wife, and Michael Rogers accidentally shot himself some time ago here, just recently, and I don't know any of the details, but a horrible accident there. So I want you to be praying for the Rogers family, if you would. And I told him we certainly would be doing that. They're actually with family tonight to help out in some ways. So we'll keep them lifted up in prayer. But as we go to prayer, let's also just pray that the Lord would just meet with us in a special way, and that this Lord's Supper would be exactly what God wants it to be in each and every one of our lives. Father, we're thankful for the time to be here. Lord, I pray that you would bless these folks that we've mentioned. I pray for Marilyn Stevens, that you would comfort, bless, and strengthen your, she's a wonderful saint of yours, and I pray that you'd bless her. Lord, I pray for Brother Larry Trent as he has surgery tomorrow, I believe it is. I pray that you would strengthen him for it and give it a good, successful surgery there. Lord, I pray for my wife's family, that you would help each and every one of them in the as their sweet mother went home to be with you. Dear Lord, bless that family, I pray. Bless the Rogers family, dear Lord. Help each of them to look to thee. And I pray if some are unsaved, they'd be saved. Those that know you, that you would just strengthen them, dear Lord, and bless them through this terrible tragedy, we pray. I pray for Summer, that you'll bring her home safely and give traveling mercies and just bless her in the healing process, dear Lord, we pray. And we'll certainly thank you for all that you do. And then tonight in this service, Lord, may each of us, dear Lord, truly open ourselves up to what you want us to do. And I pray this Lord's Supper time will be a sweet, sweet time for our family of church. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let's all stand one more time, and we're going to sing the song 375, 375. It is well with my soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows I see little throw, but ever my love, thou hast taught me to say,
1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 23 through verse 34. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Pastor asked me to share a few thoughts from this passage, the blessings of the Lord's Supper. Some blessings from the Lord's Supper. The blessing of being reminded. We're reminded of what the Lord has done for us when we come to the Lord's Supper. Christ wants us to remember his death because it's through his death that we have eternal life. Christ died for us, and it wasn't that we were so wonderful or so amazing that God died for us. It's not anything that we did that caused God to think, oh, wow, they deserve my death, but it's simply the fact that God loved us. In that while we were yet sinners, God still loved us. Even though we were opposed to God in our sin, God still loved us, and he died for us. We remember Christ's death when we come to the Lord's table and remember what he has done for us. What a blessing it is to reflect and remember what Christ has done. The end of verse 26 reminds us of the Lord's returning. We as Christians, we live with the end in mind. The fact that Christ is going to return one day, and what a blessing that is to remember. But then we have the blessing of revival. The reviving in our own hearts and lives as we think of what the Lord has done for us. When we think about the fact that Christ died on the cross for our sins, we should come to a place where we realize, you know what, we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins. We need to examine our own hearts and reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal in us, hey, where have we wronged? God, when he died for us, when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's not just a time to admire and reflect, but a time to fellowship with our living Savior. It should drive us to live a life of sacrifice to God in our life. As we come to the table, we think about our Savior, and as Paul wrote in Romans, that it's only reasonable that we would give our lives back to God because of what he has done for us on the cross. We think of Christ dying in Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's only reasonable that we would give our lives back to God. It's a good time to remember and reflect there. It should give us reason to rejoice. We can rejoice because Christ has died in our place. He's paid the price. It should cause us to witness to others. The fact that Christ died for us, hey, Christ died for the whole world. We're telling others. It's a chance as a believer in Christ to refocus on the important things, to refocus our lives on Christ. As we come to the table tonight, we can remember what Christ has done for us. And I hope it does a work in our hearts, reminding us of our wonderful Savior.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Kyle. I appreciate that. It is a wonderful time for the church family to come together.
And then it's a wonderful time for you as an individual Christian to set apart a time that you will do exactly as the scripture says, let a man examine himself. And what I'd like to do is just have Brother Dan come and lead us in a song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And I'm going to give a few remarks after that, but if you forgot to get the juice and the bread on your way in there on the table in the center of the lobby while he leads us in this next song, you can slip out and get those if you like to. And then as soon as he gets that back, I'd like to pick out a few phrases out of this passage that Kyle just read and that the Lord seemed to impress upon me as I was going over some things for this evening. So Brother Dan, come lead us in that. As I pick out just a few phrases or words from this passage, I see in verse number 24 and 25, remembrance, this do in remembrance of me, as he's giving the bread. And then as he's giving the cup, this do in remembrance of me. You know, my wife's family, of course, as most of you know, have been doing a lot of remembering. You know, anytime somebody passes, you tell stories, and one will learn a story that the other had forgotten or didn't know. And I think about that same take on things, except, of course, this is about the Lord. And that's really why God instituted this, as the Savior was, if you look back in the Gospels where this was first recounted, as the Savior took those disciples aside and he said, I'm implementing this so that from here on, until he comes back and gets the church, that we would have a time when we remember. In some ways, every church service that we get to come to is a way to remember, because every Sunday we are proclaiming the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We're proclaiming the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Howbeit every service or sermon, rather, might not be about that, but by our coming together, we are proclaiming it, be it up in junior church or primary church, in Pathfinders, or in somewhere and in here. So in that way, each church service is a way for us to look and remember what God has told us, but specifically, as if God knew how busy everybody was going to get, and he did, he said that a church ought to pull back, a Christian ought to pull back just a little while and take this time to remember. Well, what would we remember? It goes on to say in verse number 26, we do, for as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, or in essence, as often as you do this, which is bringing that remembrance to your life, here's what it does. You do show the Lord's death. And he says, until he come again. And so we understand the length of this Lord's service or Lord's Supper. We don't know what day will be the last time we take it, but we know we are going to do it until the act of him coming back to get us. We do show the Lord's death. You know what my dear mother got to tell me? And I have a brother that's a year older than me. And so we would be the rugrats of our family. We had two older siblings. And what she got to tell me when I was young, and all I was enamored with was the little cups. I thought that was pretty neat. It was the smallest ones I'd seen. And we would be the kids that after church, we'd be going to pick them up. At first, Dad had gotten a set of those old glass ones. Some church had started using the plastic ones. Ooh, the new ways. You know, they start using the plastic ones that you throw away. Well, we got the hand-me-downs at our little startup church of the glass ones. And so we thought that was so neat. We'd get those. And then, of course, we thought we were big time when we finally did give those to some other church. That's what churches do. They just get something free and use it for a while and then give it to somebody else when they're done with it. And we would do like some of your kids have done after church. We would take those cups and we'd stack them cup after cup after cup, and we'd have the Leaning Tower of communion cups. It was a wonderful time, though, as my mom would tell me, that's all I cared about. Boy, afterwards, we're going to be able to pick all these up. And if there was any extras, because we were the pastor's kids, we'd drink the juice too. I don't know that Dad knew that, but we did it. But she'd tell us that this juice is just good old grape juice like we get at Kroger, but what it represents is so much more. And so you had a little preacher mom over there telling her boys that were restless that the reason we're doing this is because we're remembering the blood that Jesus shed. And then we got to ask the question, so is this the blood that he shed? No, 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 boys. This is just grape juice like we get at Kroger, but it represents the blood that Jesus shed. And so she was teaching us to show the Lord's death. Well, we look on down in verse number 28, let a man examine himself. The command is given for you to look at one person. So in many churches, we are good at looking, but we just look at the wrong person. We look at all the other people. We look at that person. Well, they're probably not ready, and well, they certainly aren't ready. They need to get some things straightened up, and they need to change some things. But the command is given to look at one person. We spend so much time looking at others, but the command is given to look at you. Let a man examine himself. Let a woman, too. Let mankind examine themselves in verse number 28. And so after that examination takes place, then let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so you see the order, because God's going to tell us in a little bit how serious it is that we don't neglect that examination process, because there's many weak and sickly among you, as the Bible says, and many sleep. So we understand that God's taking this very seriously. And so you talk about putting some fear of God into boys. Then when Dad got onto that part, probably because he knew how rowdy some of us were, he would tell us that boys is a very, very serious stuff. And it goes on in verse number 29, because he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. And the reason it's such a big deal is because the last phrase of verse number 29, and that is not discerning the Lord's body, because it's such a serious nature. There's things in your house, or maybe in your mother's house, that when your kids went there as they were little, said, be careful about that. Don't be wrestling around with that. Don't be moving that. Don't be tossing that, because that's very, very valuable. It was important to you or your grandma or your great-grandmother. Well, the reason that God puts such weight on the importance of examining yourselves and making sure that we're right with God is because without it, we are not discerning the Lord's body. We don't take it glibly or nonchalant, or just say, well, you know, whatever. It's just a function that we do. It's just a ritual that we do. No, no. It's us tending to our relationship with the Lord. It's not you getting closer to heaven. That's not what this is for. It's not you getting more saved than you were before. It's not you getting finally into God's good graces. When you're saved, you're already in God's good graces. You're saved and you're set for eternity. But what it does do is it brings us closer to him, and it gets us that chance when we can examine ourselves and look back to when he died on the cross and look forward to when he's coming again, and we can realize how blessed we are just to get to stop here in a moment of time and say, praise the Lord for both ways. It represents our Savior's body. And so as we take that unleavened bread, that bread that's as pure as they could get it, it's the best thing they can do to represent our Savior's body. And if we don't do that, for this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. The Bible says in verse number 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Now, there's two types of people in this religious world. There's those that are Pharisees. The Pharisees in the New Testament got a deserved bad reputation for judging other people. And when somebody says that today, oh, that person's such a Pharisee, what they mean is they're always looking down their nose at somebody for something they're not doing or they are doing that they don't think they should be doing. Well, I like to point out like this, there are those Pharisees, and then there are some other Pharisees that are good at pointing out the Pharisees that are in the church. It's amazing how there are some people who really do look down on their nose at people, but then somebody says, I'm going to be super righteous, I'm going to be better than that, and what do? They come around and point out all the Pharisees that were pointing out the flaws of the first group. But if we just follow Scripture, we'd be so much better off. Because the Bible says if we judge ourselves, because that's who God works on. Now, there might be a time when God puts it thoroughly on your heart to privately go to a brother or sister in Christ and say, I've been praying for you, and you may have to help them through a situation. But the majority of the times, that's going to happen when they come to you and ask for your help, not when you go tell them, say, I noticed some things wrong here. So the Bible says in verse number 31, if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged, because here's God's objective. It's true, as we see the convicting of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says that He would reprove us of sin. He would show us the things that we need to do. He'd bring things to our remembrance. And God's plan is for you and I to get right with Him without Him having to send judgment. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Because you are His, and you are not the world's property. You're His property, as Kyle mentioned in Romans chapter 12. And that's why he puts the end of verse number 32. You're judged, you're chasing the Lord. Why? So that we wouldn't be condemned with the world. Because we're not the world. We're bought with a price. And so we understand that you are His, and you are not the world's property. So a few thoughts out of this passage, and I just wanted to bring you to this point to remind you that the whole purpose of this event, this ordinance that the Lord Jesus Christ left, is to point people to the Savior. You say, I don't need to be pointed to the Savior. I'm already saved. That's our job every day, is to point ourselves back to the Savior. Remind ourselves of who we are and whose we are. And if you're here tonight and you're saved, do you understand what saved you? The Bible says, for by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. So it was by His grace through faith that He saved us, but it was by that shedding of blood, and that blood is what we remember and represented by the unfermented fruit of the vine. And that's what we get to remember tonight. And if you're here with us this evening, and you're not yet a Christian, you've never come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there was never a time that you can look back on and say, there's where I received Christ as my Savior. Oh, my friend, avoid the Lord's table tonight, but then do something different and do something better, and that is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we come to a time when we want to pray, I challenge you to do a little reflecting. And as you do a little reflecting, we're going to ask the organist to play something through. And let that time be, as the Scripture says, let a man examine himself. And I challenge you, as I always do, to look over it and say, Lord, if there's anything in my life, and go down through there. If there's something, some attitude, many times I've said, Lord, forgive me for that. Now, as soon as you let me get out of this service, I'm going to go to so-and-so. Because, my friend, I take it very, very seriously. Let's pray together. Well, the scripture says in verse number 24 of the passage that Kyle read earlier, and when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, can you imagine on that first one when the Lord was establishing this and giving it to the disciples? Literally was breaking that bread and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. It was a wonderful, wonderful event. But when the Bible says, when he had given thanks, he broke it. I'm going to ask Brother Rick Hall if you'd pray and ask the Lord's blessings on the bread this evening.
Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done for us on Calvary. We thank you for the shed blood, and we thank you, Father, for the broken body. We thank you, Father, that it was done for our benefit, that we could gain heaven and miss hell. We thank you and praise your name for who you are and what you are. If we take this, help us to be in remembrance of what you did for us on Calvary, that we can conduct our lives to show that you're in our hearts. Go with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
And so again, the Bible says in verse 24, when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Brother Dan's going to come and lead us in hymn number 360, There is a Fountain, and then we'll continue on.
There is a
And what a wonderful time that it would have been to be with the Lord. And then again, when the people of Corinth are getting the words from the apostle, it goes on and says in verse number 25, after the same manner he took the cup when he had supped, saying, I'm going to ask, Brother Rick, do you still have that microphone? Okay, he's got that handheld. If you'd pray for our cup as well again ask the Lord's blessings on this time, please, also.
Father, once again, we come before you, Father, with humble hearts, and we thank you, Father, for that shed blood on Calvary as it dripped to the ground, Father. It was our redemption, and we thank you, Father, for that. Help us to be reminded of that daily, weekly, every hour, what was done for us on Calvary through the shed blood. Help us, Father, to realize the importance of it, that it might help us conduct our lives before others. In your name we pray. Amen.
So if you take the cup there and peel the lid back far enough, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Back in the Gospels, the scripture said when they'd finished, they'd went out in the Mount of Olives, and they'd sung a hymn, and then went out in the Mount of Olives. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to lead us again in that song, There Is a Fountain, the first verse again. Then I'd like to do something just a little bit different after that, so if you'll stick with us for just a moment. But let's stay seated, but sing that one more time, and then I'll come back up again. So I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind getting
there. There is a fountain filled with blood, long from the animal's grave. And since blood beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their
here just to keep you here. We want to do this very strategically, and so we don't want to take a long time. But maybe you have you'd like to give us quickly where you were saved. Maybe you don't have, or when you were saved, you may not have the date. I love this phrase I got from somebody. I don't remember who it was. If you say it long enough, that just becomes yours. But that preacher said, you might not remember the date, but you should remember the real estate, meaning you should remember some of the surroundings about it. I have it written in my Bible, but that's just, if I hadn't, I would not remember the date. But maybe you'd like to give the reference. We don't want anybody to take 10 minutes or anything like that, but maybe the reference of when you got saved or the surroundings or how the Lord brought you. Everybody got saved the same way. You get saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no, I did it this way. This is what I did. Everybody gets saved the same way, but we all have a lot of different events leading up to that. So maybe like give a testimony of that. Okay, right there real quick.
In 1963, March, I was 13 years old, and being in a little country church, a little Baptist church, there in Danville, West Virginia, a little railroad town. My grandfather was a deacon, my dad was a deacon, grandfather was a Sunday school superintendent, so I'd been under the Word,
amen,
knew the truth, and in that year, going on in the world, we was having the Cuban Missile Crisis was going on. A lot of people were afraid that there was going to be missiles dropping on them. So I heard that, was old enough to realize that if one of those dropped on me that day, that I would not would not be in heaven. So from that situation, I looked up to God and asked for salvation, and He saved me that day, totally.
Amen. Amen.
All right, right here we got Daniel's got a microphone.
1955, in Vacation Bible School, missionary lady was teaching the Wordless Book story. She told us that our heart was dark with sin. The blood of Jesus Christ would make us white as snow. God reached down, touched a 9-year-old farm boy, and saved him.
Amen to that. Have anybody in the balcony? Preston's got a microphone. All right. Right back here, Daniel. Would you mind getting Miss Fork right back there? And then if somebody will catch the eye of Kyle over here, we'll do another one here in the middle or somewhere right back there. All right, we'll come right there. Yes, ma'am.
I was in Charlotte, North Carolina, 1952. If I did my math right, I was about 9 years old. And I had been in church. My mom and dad had me in church most all my life. And the Sunday school teacher, God used the story, the lesson of the virgins, and those were left behind and those that went in with the bridegroom. And at that time in my life, I was afraid of being left behind, and God used that, as well as I told the primaries one Sunday in church, I knew I was a sinner because I had stolen something, and they were shocked. And I said, no, I did, but I got caught, and I had to repent, and I had to, you know, make it right. But God used all of that in that particular circumstance to draw me to Himself. And I assume I started asking my mom questions, and she had the pastor come. And it was Greenwood Baptist Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I got saved and was baptized.
Amen. Amen to that.
I'm thankful you got saved. I'd hate to think stuff goes up missing around here. We'd have to look at Miss Edith. So, praise the Lord. Miss Linda Stover?
I got saved at Central Free Will Baptist Church in the summer of 63. I was a teenager, and that's when I got saved.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody here in the middle, Daniel's looking. Right back there, Shad, on to your left, or Kyle.
Sorry, I didn't mean to take someone's place in line there. I was saved in 1995 in the summer heat in Ohio on a mission trip. It was some youth, and
then some other people in the church. It was Crabtree Baptist Church in Crabtree, North Carolina. And then for, that was in 95, and then for the rest of my years up until the first last year, I didn't know the Lord. He was waiting for me. When I came back, and I just praise him for his love and for my church. And he's just good all the time. Thank you.
Amen. God is good. Amen to that. Anybody upstairs, I don't want to miss anybody. Press if you see somebody, flag me down. Right back there, Brother Kyle.
Thank you. I was saved here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I was 26 years old, and Joe Taylor invited my sister's little girl to ride the bus, and that so my sister came, and she invited me, and I had gotten under conviction that I was lost, and I was looking for the Lord, but I didn't know how to find him, and I came here to Buffalo Ridge, heard Preacher Leslie, and I said, this is what I've been looking for, and I came forward and got saved, and I was 26 years old, and I'm 76 now, so I've been saved 50 years.
Amen to that. Amen and amen. Anybody here in this section, Brother Daniel's looking? All right. Right up here, Leroy. Brother Daniel, if you'll get him.
Well, I was saved in 1980, February the 13th. I had a birthday last week. And my mother-in-law had passed away, and we memorial service for her, and that night I got the new birth.
Amen.
And a bus captain, Steve McNeely, and Pastor Leslie came by the Appalachian Funeral Home and led me to the Lord. And I didn't know no better. I thought salvation was you had to ride a bus, so I've been riding the bus ever since. And I just and I just want to praise the Lord. I mean, he's got something for you. Don't matter who you are.
Amen. Amen. Well, Kyle, why don't you come up here? Brother Tim, would you give a word for the Lord real quick? It had to be about when you're saved. Just say, give a word for the Lord. Take it for him.
Well, it's good to be here. 1972, I was born again. And I didn't understand much. I've been taking to church some, but I wasn't one that was raised in church regular, nothing like that. But Holy Spirit started working on me and helped me know some things. I was hearing the Word of God, saved in a Free Will Baptist Church on the other side of Johnson City. Lord took me all the way to North Dakota to get me out of that church. See, he worked on my life. I'm at the, he's had me under the preaching of the Word for years. I've been saved over 50 years now. Amen. And he's been good to me, and he's given me opportunity to serve him. See, I told somebody the other day, this is an opportunity place here at Buffalo Ridge. It's a place not only to be saved, but to serve. See, and he's got a job for you to do. If you've been born again, if you're saved by the grace of God, hey, he's got something for you to do. Yeah. Something for you to do. And if you don't know, hey, ask somebody around here. There's jobs to do. See, and I appreciate him giving me this opportunity to be here. He called me to preach years back, and I'm in four different nursing homes, back in four nursing homes right now, and the Lord opens a door here and there and things for me to share the Word of God. See, and I appreciate what he does for me. Appreciate a place where I hear the Word of God preached and taught, and a place to serve him. If you're here today and you're saved, hey, serve him till he comes and gets you. That's what I tell him people I spoke to in just the last week. Some of them 80, 90, close to 100 year old. I tell them, hey, if you're saved, you just serve God until he comes and gets you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got something for all of us to do. It don't matter what age.
Amen.
But I appreciate you. Appreciate this opportunity to share with you just a minute. See, but he's been good to me. He's been good to me.
Amen.
Been good to my granddaughter. Brought her through that surgery. Hey, many praying. Many praying. I don't know if it had been in the thousands and millions of prayers that's went up for her in this situation. And if he had seen fit to take her on home, hey, that'd have been all right too. But since she's still breathing, you know what? He's got a job Got a job for her to do.
Amen.
But I appreciate you praying for me and my family. Hey, keep on praying for us. I need prayers.
Amen.
Need prayers.
And one brother Tim, just to share, because I know he always speaks up for the Lord, but also to let you know that if you've got an interest in helping with, there's other folks that go to nursing homes as well, but he is going in some. If you'd like to help him out, I know they wouldn't turn you down. So, Brother Daniel, would you mind giving Archie Johnson? Brother Archie, would you stand up and give a word for the Lord there? I know you don't mind.
Thank you very much. I was saved back in 83. In Fort Polk, Louisiana, or Leesville, right outside of Fort Polk, as a young soldier. And I thank the Lord for this church. I thank the Lord for all he does for my family. And what a great place. Our God is so awesome. God is good. And that's all the time. And I appreciate him. And he's been with us, and he's with you every step of the way. And I just appreciate each and everybody, how they taken my family in and prayed for us. And I just appreciate you guys.
Amen.
And, you know, we go before the Lord, his throne of mercy and his grace on a daily basis. And he puts so much on us to pray for. And that's just such a precious thing to be able to pray for each and everyone. For you to pray for us, and we pray for you, and I just thank the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, I hope you'd say it's been a good place to be tonight, and I just want to end up on some testimonies, maybe some people you don't get to hear all the time, because all of us got, if you're saved in here, as I mentioned, you got saved the exact same way. Now, God orchestrates a lot of events to get you up to that point where you receive Christ as your only hope of heaven. You don't add him on to all the other stuff you got and just say, well, yeah, I'll take him as another good luck charm. It doesn't work that way. You look to him as your only hope of heaven, the forgiveness of sin. But God may have orchestrated extra events to get us there, but he got us, we're on to heaven the same way, and that's through Jesus Christ. And so praise the Lord for all of those testimonies. And I'm going to ask you all to stand together. Press, if you still have that mic up there, Brother Jeff Roten, would you take that and dismiss us as we go, and then before he prays, you deacons, if you're in here, I need to meet with you just for 2 minutes in the Brother Rick Hall's Heritage Men's Classroom, just the first room on the right down the hall, and however many of there are, we'll meet just briefly, just 1 or 2 minutes. It's got one thing I want to ask you, and then we'll let everybody else fellowship together. But Brother Jeff, you say whatever you want to say, but pray and dismiss us. Ask God to dismiss us with his grace.
Thank you.